Thank you, Jesus.
It's God's amazing grace. If you have your Bibles open to the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel. When I don't have my glasses on, things kind of double up on me. Amen. And we'll start around this. Well, looks like we're going to have to start with the 36th verse, because for some strange reason, that little part of my 34th and 35th verse is missing. First Samuel. I said 2 Samuel, didn't I? 1 Samuel. Ain't no 18th chapter? What? Y'all telling me that in 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. Oh, that's the 17th chapter. Told y'all I can't see. And I have to decipher because I'm missing parts of my Bible. It's up there though, right? Oh, it was. See, y'all got our knees confused too. Oh, this is going to be good. Oh, it's the So we're right. We in the 17th chapter of the, and 36. Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, since I'm missing the 35th verse, can you read it for me, Rev? You know you got to get in the mic. Can't no. 35. Come on, here. Just pick one.
Chapter verse 35. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose again against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him.
Thank you. I'm really starting to think I'm going to need a new Bible. Amen. Sister Hart used to sing a song called "You don't know how and you don't know when, but he'll what? He'll do it again." And I was talking to God this week and I was saying, "Lord, I don't know how and I don't know when." And then Sister Sherry added in, "He'll do it again." And reminded me that Sister Hart used to sing that song. And we don't know how and we don't know when. But we do know that God's going to do what he's going to do. Amen. And here we see David. Said he smote the lion. He caught him by his beard or his mane or his throat. And he smote him. And he slew him. And you have to think about the situation. You have to look at the whole scenario here. He's a boy. As far as I understand, lions devour grown men. So what gives a boy the ability and the capability to take a lion by his throat and slay him? It's his confidence in his God. He has no confidence in himself, but his confidence in his God. He's bragging on his God. So when they begin to ask him, they wonder, and he was reminding them, he said, "If I slew the lion," then he says, "I slew both the lion and the bear." Saying what? "I slew the lion, and God will do it again, and I'll slay the bear." And if God will do that, then I'll slay this uncircumcised Philistine also. Why? Because God is a God of now, and what he did yesterday, he can do now. He will do it again. So David proceeds to tell them, seeing this shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Here is a Philistine defying, just reproaching the people of God, reproaching what he's saying is, because they didn't have the ability to stand up against him, that they were a reproach to God. Because they were a great army, a mighty army. And here they were allowing one thing, one person, one man to stop them from succeeding. We have to remember that whatever God began, he completes. He'll do it again. In the process of doing it again, he will enable us and give us the strength to slay him. Goliath represents a lot of things. Goliath just doesn't represent a big man or a strong man, or he just doesn't represent the Satan, as most folks say, but he represents flesh. He not only represents flesh, but he represents ideologies and systems and cliques, and he represents jealousies and envies and strifes. Everything that the old nature represents, he stands for. So it's important that we understand that we have to slay him. We have to slay Goliath. And we have to remember that what God did before, he can do it again. What we fail to realize is that Scripture says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same power he had yesterday, he has today. When I had the power to kill the lion, Elder Tim, Pastor Tim, I also had the power to kill the bear, Pastor Relliford. So if I have this authority, then this Philistine, who is no stronger than the lion or the bear, he's got to fall too. You've got to remember, God will do it again. But you got to hold fast to your faith. You got to trust God. I'm talking to you because I'm going through something, and I have to trust God. I have to believe God. I have to remember, God, help me slay the lion. God, help me slay the bear. Now there's an uncircumcised Philistine standing before me, and y'all think it represents a person, but it represents me. Oh, my God. Oh, he'll do it again. Look at your neighbor and say, he'll do it again. He said, they'll defy the armies of the, he said, the living God. God wants them to, David's trying to get them to understand something. God ain't just a figment of your imagination. He hasn't left. He hasn't changed. He hasn't stopped being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He hasn't stopped being God Almighty. He hasn't stopped being Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. He hasn't stopped being none of this, Jehovah Shammah. He hasn't stopped being any of this. You have just come to a place in yourself where you can't see him as he is. When you stop seeing God as God is, then it limits your ability to trust him. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. You notice that it says paw, hand, or power. Meaning that they were strong, sure enough, Sister Norman. The lion was surely strong. And he was stronger than me. But I had God. Didn't matter that he was stronger than me. I had God on my side. God was fighting with me. Therefore, I was able to take him by the throat and slay him. And the bear was actually, I don't know if you know about bears and lions, but if you put a bear and a lion up against each other, most likely the bear is going to kill the lion. He outweighs the lion. He's stronger than the lion. So he went from one phase to another phase. There's always going to be phases in your life that you're going to go to. There's going to be circumstances that you're going to grow from. Situations that are going to get greater and more terrible and more fierce in your life. And God is trying to get us to understand that He is the same. He will not change. But what we do, we allow our faith to change. Because of the way we look at the circumstance and because of the way we feel about what we're going through. I know you don't, but I do. You say, well, you the pastor. Yep, I got to put my pants on and shoes just like all the rest of you brothers. So David went on and said, and Saul said unto David, go, the Lord be with thee. Well, yeah, somebody going to always try to get you to go. It's better you fight the battle than them. Saul never went. He sent people. And when they came back whipped, he decided that it wasn't worth his while to go out there and get whipped. We don't want to fight with what we need to fight with because we're embarrassed about what we're dealing with. So Saul sat back and said, okay, David, you go right on ahead. Not knowing that David was going anyway, you have to make up in your mind that what you're going to do for God, you're going to do. There are things that are going to try to stop you and break in your life and separate you from the things of God. Arnice was reminding me, God was giving me this message. It's called Pieces of a Dream. And Arnice was reminding me, you know, that's the group. And then I remembered it is. But then I remembered also that just like here, there are pieces of your dream that your flesh wants to separate you from. I used to think that he wanted all of your dream. You know, like, what's the young guy who had the dream, dreamed the dream? Joseph dreamed the dream. And his brothers got mad at him because he told them about the dream. They didn't try to destroy his dream. They tried to destroy parts of his dream. Why? Because if your parts of your dream can be destroyed, then your focus will be destroyed. And if you lose your focus, then you can't stand on the faith that God has given you. Saul right here is preparing himself to try to steal a piece of his dream. But David realizes that what God did before, he'll do it again. Why? Because he is God. Not because I say so, but because he is God. Why? Because God has the ability, the uncanny ability, to represent himself. So Saul said, David, go and the Lord be with you. How come he couldn't go and the Lord be with him? God was with him in the beginning. That's because there are times when we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we lose the authority that we have in God because you don't use it. Saul armed David, and they always want to fit you with their stuff. Saul armed David with his armor and put on a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. You'd be amazed. I've had people said, come to me and say, you know what? If you did this again, church would grow. If you used to do this, start doing this again, the church would grow. If you did this like this once again, the church would grow. Well, that happened, and the church didn't grow. Tried that, and the church didn't grow. So I finally decided, forget all that. I got to put on my own armor. I can't wear anybody else's armor. You see how small my head is? I can't fit somebody else's helmet. And you see how wide I am? So I can't put on anybody else's breastplate. So I got to be fitted with my armor. But here Saul is trying to fit David with his armor, which Saul was, if I'm correct, Saul was close to 7 feet tall. David was a lad. He couldn't have been more than 5 feet. So can you imagine what he looked like with Saul's armor on? What can he do? He could barely move. We're trying to fight the battle that we're trying to fight with somebody else's armor. You got to remember that God said he'll do it and he will do it. But you got to keep fighting with your own armor. Hallelujah. So we see Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass upon his head and he armed him with a coat of mail. Well, we know what when you go into the epistles, it says, put on the whole armor of God, or the canopy of God. What? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. Take unto you the sword of the spirit, your feet shod with the preparation of peace, gird up with the loins, your loins with the word, truth, all these things. But we're trying to do it in the natural, and God is saying it's a spiritual thing. David girded his sword with his armor and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. I can see David dragging. Hold it, Saul, I can't use this stuff. You can't use somebody else's stuff. You got to have your own stuff. You got to have your own faith. You got to have your own confidence. You got to have your own trust in God. You can't depend on nobody else. And we've been taught to depend on the prophet. We've been taught to depend on the evangelist. We've been taught to depend on the pastor. We've been taught to depend on the teacher. We've been taught to depend on the apostle, when we should have been taught to depend on Jesus. We need to depend on Jesus. That's the difference here between Saul and David. Saul was dependent on them, and David was dependent on Jesus. Because he know that anything that Jesus did once, he can do it again. Now, seeing that we're in the book of Samuel, I'm sure to believe, I'm sure to know that David knows all what happened in Egypt. And David knows that God opened up the Red Sea. David knows that God called the waters of the Jordan to roll back. So David knows all this, so he's got something on his side, which gives him confidence. What is it? It's the word of God. The word of God will give you the confidence that you need. So David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. I have not tried them. I don't know that I can work with this. We try to work with somebody else's stuff. It was so funny. Years ago when I first got here and we used to have Heart Brothers conventions, there'd be two Brother Doyles, two Brother Maurices, two Pastor Harts, two Brother Raymonds, just two of everything. You say, what are you talking about? Because there would always be somebody, one of the ministers, that was trying to imitate one of the brothers. But you can't imitate the brother because you ain't been through what the brother been through. He can't imitate Saul. He's got to be who he is in God. You have got to be who you are in God and have confidence in him. I'm about to close. David put them off, took them off, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. A scrip is a travel pouch which deals with instructions. So David got himself ready, and he took staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones. Why did he choose the 5 smooth stones? Because the smoothest of the stones represent the fivefold ministry. That means that this is used for teaching and not for you can't tie them up and take them home with you. You have to believe the word of the Lord and use that. And then you have to run with that. David took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them. And I like it that he took it out of the brook, because the brook represents the word of God. And put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, script, and his sling, and said, jump all the way down to 44. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me. I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. He's towering over David greatly. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You may have defied the armies of God, but you can't defy me, because I'm standing in God. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. Your confidence and your faith has got to be in your God. You got to believe that whatever God has promised you, he can bring it to pass. I don't care if you get emotionally caught up. I don't care if you get physically caught up. I don't care if you get mentally caught up. You got to keep your confidence in what the word of God has promised you. And you have to keep running this race. If you trip, get up, shake yourself off, and keep on moving. I know sometimes, I don't know about you, somebody going to have to help me, but sometimes I just want to do one of these numbers. And after I'd have laid there for a little while, I want to just say, you know what, Lord? The hell with it. I'm done. But there's something on the inside of you that regardless of how bad you feel, how weak you may seem, what you're going through emotionally or physically, there's something on the inside of you that tells you, you got to get up. This battle is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord. You got to resist your flesh. You got to resist your thoughts. You got to resist your ideas. You got to resist the enemy. You got to get up. I'm getting up, Tim. I'm getting up on this knee. You got to get up, and you got to believe that God is who he said he is. I know I feel like it a lot of times, just laying down on the floor. The heck with it. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm beat up. I'm exhausted. Lord God, there's so much to me. I can't handle it. I know your word says you're putting on more on me than that which I can bear. But Lord God, the load done got awful heavy. It's weighing me shoulders down. It's got my feet feel like I'm walking with bricks on my feet. Feel like my legs are weighed as made of steel. But Father, you are the great I am, and I know if I keep my confidence in you, if I keep my trust in you, I can win this battle, I can walk this walk, and I can make this walk, but I'm not gonna give up. Philistine, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind myself lately, getting in the mirror, binding that Philistine. I bind myself, I bind my flesh in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I know what my flesh is all about, so I have to talk to it, because it talks to me. Tell me you can't make it, you ain't going nowhere. I got you. I done got a piece of your dream. Where can you go now? But I got news for you. You can't keep it, flesh. You can't hold on to it. I'm going to get back what you took, and I'm going to run this race, and I'm going to fight this fight, and I'm going to keep believing God, and I'm going to keep trusting in God, and you can't have what God done promised me. Hallelujah. And in closing, David took the Philistine, hit him in the middle of the forehead with one of them smooth stones. Whop! Brother Mickey. Now, he had to throw that stone awful hard, or that stone was anointed. And when it hit him in the head, it had to hit him in the head, sis, because it had to destroy the mindset. How many hear me? It had to destroy the mindset that was separating and giving him the ability to destroy the people of God. Sometimes we need to just get a sling and just whop ourselves in the middle of the forehead to bring ourselves back to reality. But I got news for you. The Philistine is dead because we're going to kill him. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I have to kill this mess every day, because every day I get up, it's trying to do something to me. It's trying to discourage me. It's trying to tear me down. It's trying to break me down. It's trying to discourage me. It's trying to make me think that I can't make it. It's trying to make me think that I won't be blessed. It's trying to make me think that I can't get healed. It's trying to make me think I can't get delivered. But I got news for you. I bind you, flying Philistine. I take authority over you, and I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I'll go run this race. And he hit him in the forehead, and he fell upon his face back to the earth from whence he came. He'll do it again. But what I like about him doing it again, the latter house shall be greater than the former. Amen. That's the word of God. There's always going to be a sifting. Before the power falls. So I'm encouraging you today. Remind yourself. If he did it once, he can do it again. Somebody say, he'll do it again. He will do it again. You don't sound like you believe it. Say it again. Say it again. One more time. He'll do it again. You know why he'll do it again? Because he's God. We're not. He's God. We just have to position ourselves like David did. And David cut off the head of the Philistine. Why? Because the Bible says, cast down every imagination that would exalt itself above or against the word of God. Because see, what Goliath represented, the Philistine represented reasoning. He reasoned within himself, if I beat the armies of Israel, what you gonna do, little boy? But what he didn't realize was that the little boy was not a little boy. He was anointed of God. It don't matter what folks think your statue is in God. The anointing will destroy the yoke. Everyone stand.
Praise the Lord, beloved. I thank God for you allowing this ministry to minister to your heart. I hope today that you heard something that gave you the ability to stir up the gift of God within you, that you might continue in on this race, knowing that nothing self-separates you from the love of God. Beloved, I thank God for you for donating to receive this CD from the ministries at Liberty Temple Worship Center. May the blessings of the Lord be upon your life and in your life, and may you be encouraged in all your endeavors and your posterity. May it be full in your life. And I thank God for you, and I pray that the blessings of God will be upon you, within you, and around you. I pray that the Lord God will guide your path and give you victory in all your circumstances. And God bless you, beloved, in Jesus' name.